Finding clues to the religious beliefs of the dynastic Egyptians is not a hard thing to do, but clues are about all we come up with. Despite having mountains of writings from the Egyptians themselves, all we really have is a framework, a skeleton of the robust body of religious symbolism that inspired the creation of some of the biggest edifices known to man. Now, the lack of writings in the Old Kingdom and much of the Middle Kingdom has left a huge gap in our knowledge, one that's really only filled by the stones from that time period and perhaps by the writings of later periods. These writings give us a small glimpse, but many hundreds, often thousands of years have passed between the days of the silent stones and the noisy ones. The empty walls of the Great Pyramid stand in stark contrast to the heavily adorned walls of the Pyramid of Unas, the oldest known pyramid to be decorated in this manner. Another early tomb decorated in an interesting manner is a tomb of Hesi-Ra, arguably the world's first dentist. It contains an image of him engaged in a board game, one that eventually became an integral part of the religion of rebirth in ancient Egypt. Get your game mat out, set your life counter to 20, and rules lawyers, you can leave right now. We're about to check out the ancient Egyptian game of life, death, and rebirth, Senet. Hi, my name is Dan, and welcome to Dedunking. The game of Senet consists of 20 tokens, 10 per player, and a board with 30 squares, spaces for the tokens to move along. No instructions for the game survive, so the rules we do know come from the markings on the board and the text accompanying the depictions of the game. From this, we know the game started on the top left, went into the right, and then moved down, back to the left, and then moved down again, all the way back to the right, until the very last space on the bottom right row, that was considered the end of the game. And the final four spaces leading up to that last square were usually marked, with the words changing over the years. Early versions of the game seem to just have rules inscribed on these squares, good or bad, or even earlier versions we see just numbers on the spaces. It's assumed that these numbers meant you had to roll exactly the amount required to move to the end space, but this isn't known for certain. Now later on, these became religious symbols, and the board game became quite obviously a metaphor for the travel of the soul with Osiris through the underworld, the 12 hours of night I spoke about in this video here. More elaborate versions of this period have all 30 spaces covered with symbols, most pertaining to specific Egyptian deities. Some of these are lost to time, but we know what most of them are. Now, this has allowed some speculation as to the symbolism in the game, but these boards are unique in other ways as well. They seem to have been used for ceremonial purposes, and they're sometimes accompanied with loaded sticks. Not dice, they used a thing called throwing sticks, where just four sticks that on one side was decorated, the other side wasn't, and one side was a one, and one side was a zero, and apparently if you rolled like all four came up with a one, you got a bonus or something. They're not 100% sure again, like I mentioned. But instead of loaded dice, they had loaded sticks with the ceremonial ones so that you didn't get a bad roll when you were fighting against the devil or whatever. Now, when dealing with the afterlife, the dynastic Egyptians seemed to employ a myriad of ways to cheat the rules of their religion, and this just falls right in with that. But it gets even deeper than the hieroglyphs on the game board. It goes right into the fog of the Old Kingdom and even into the pre-dynastic days. Because despite the bare-bones markings in the earliest depictions of the board, the game seems to have been associated with the afterlife from at least 4,000 years ago. But even in the first and second dynasties, we see Senet board games in grave goods, and as mentioned a minute ago, they were depicted on the walls of tombs later on. But the depictions changed in the 6th dynasty. The game began to show deceased players playing with the living, and the accompanying texts implied this was a bridge between the worlds, a way to talk to the blessed dead in addition to helping them navigate the underworld. It certainly was supposed to help the soul navigate the underworld, but how is unclear. It seems to have been attached to the old hermetic chestnut, as above, so below. Win the game, save your soul for real, or build up points for the journey again. We don't really know exactly how it applied for sure, but maybe it even helped out people's relatives. Again, it's just a lot of speculation here, but we do know it was heavily correlated with their funerary rites. It wasn't just a game by the 6th dynasty. We don't know if this was a new development or if the concept was ancient and only began to be depicted in this period. But there is no question, by this point, the game was viewed as a potential conduit to the blessed dead, a way to commune with the departed, an ancient Egyptian Ouija board. It's no surprise to Egyptologists that the ancient Egyptians believed actions on earth were sacred or had influence in heaven and vice versa. But this was more a direct connection between the worlds. For example, in the coffin text spell 405, we read, "Let him sing, let him dance, and let him receive ornaments. Let him play Senet with those who are on earth. It is his voice which is heard. He is not seen." Some scholars claim that this is a first example of a new role Senet was taking on, where it no longer was just part of the funerary rituals, but now it enabled the movement of the blessed dead through the underworld. Without the game, they didn't move so good. This hypothesis has a good amount of evidence, much of which I've already presented, but here's a better example. In Coffin Text 335, which is basically the same as the 17th chapter of the Book of the Dead, the opening passage says, "Formula for elevation and transfiguration, for going out from the necropolis, for being in the following of Osiris, and being content with the food of Wennifer, going out by day, taking any form desired to be taken, playing the board game Senate, being in the pavilion, a living soul, the Osiris among the revered before the great Ennead who is in the west after he moors." It is clear the game played a significant role in the formula for elevation and transfiguration. Another game seems to have served a similar spiritual function, the game known as Mehen. Even less is known about it, but the symbolism is strong just looking at the board. A coiled serpent quite possibly represents Apep, the serpent demon who blocks the way through the underworld, and in both the Book of the Gates and the Omduad is frequently shown being restrained to allow Osiris safe passage. Similar in design to Senate, in as much as it seems to be a race game as far as like who can make it to the end first, but it's also accompanied frequently with rolling marble type of thing, so maybe they rolled through the channels. It's hard to know. There is no surviving rules for this whatsoever. Now, there are a lot of tomb paintings that show people playing Mehen, and we don't know very much about it at all, but we do know that using their iconography and the fact it's associated with burial in the afterlife, there is a good possibility that this is some sort of proto-Senet, that this was the original Egyptian game of death, life, and the afterlife. According to Egyptologist Peter Piccione, who I'm sure I'm mispronouncing his name, sorry about that, by the 20th dynasty, we had a very clear connection between the game of Senet and the religious afterlife journey through the underworld and enabling the soul to do so. To quote him directly, "In the Senet ritual of the 20th century, the game recreated this nocturnal journey of the sun god through the netherworld. The Senet board effectively became the netherworld, and moving the draughtsmen, game pieces, through the game squares actualized the passage of the player or deceased through the realm of the dead. The opponent during the performance was an unnamed spiritual enemy of Ra who was defeated and ultimately drowned in the water square of 27. The purpose of performing this ritual, whether by a living or dead player, was to secure a new spiritual life in this world and the next by facilitating the passage of the Ba, soul, and transforming oneself into the sun god." And this would explain the loaded throwing sticks, right? I mean, there's no sense leaving the battle with Apep to chance if you can just roll a natural 20 every time, or natural 4 as the case may be. He gets his evidence from this from the Great Game Text, the best breakdown of Senet we have in the record. He also cites the Turin Papyrus 1775, and this is an interesting combination of script and a folding Senet board, one that changes into three different modes of play, according to Piccione. Since these were intended for ritual use, this has allowed us to discern which variants were more closely related to this ritual and which lacked the associated imagery. This is pretty important, as the three main variations from the game aren't divided by age or symbolic images. It's far more simple. The earliest ones were known as slabs. They're just a flat board that they would scratch the squares onto and play the game on. Then there's the graffiti boards, which is just what it sounds like on the tin. You look around, you find some graffiti, and people were playing some Senet in there. And then the third one is these drawers that they started making later in later dynasties. And they were the more fancy ones, the majority of the ones that survived. They were probably expensive and better cared for, plus they're a little bit more robust. But a lot of the graffiti ones actually survive as well. So basically, the three versions are based on economics, but we can tell which type of symbolic connotations the game had based on the board type, at least to a degree, presumably, according to some experts. So why do I bring this up? Well, a couple of videos ago, I talked about a general outline for what may have been an emulation of the pharaoh's supposed soul's journey of the underworld, and then undertaking that on the open plains of Egypt and stopping at different sacred sites and going through different stations of the 12 hours of the Book of the Gates or the Book of Omduat. That's the word I'm looking for. But those two books, basically, they have 12 hours, 12 stations that they're supposed to stop at through the night. And I laid out a different 12 different places that they may have stopped at. And go click on it when you're done watching this. But my point is that the board game may well tie right into this and like inform some of these things a little bit better. But each one of these squares may well represent something as time went on and as more places were added to it. Because like the theory that I have where there's different spots that people would stop, well, as different cities became popular and stuff, at 12:30, halfway through the 10th hour, we're going to stop over in this city for a couple days. They might have started adding a bunch of different spaces. And this, the evolution of the game does offer a potential window into the evolution of their spiritual development over time, and that may tie into my little theory there. Now, the spell I read earlier, the one that spoke of the game and the dead playing it with the living, it appears in many places in ancient Egypt, like the Osirion, a place that may well have been represented by the water square in the game board and may well be represented by the square of water in the Book of the Omduat and the Book of the Gates. Located in Abydos, it is certainly involved in some form of resurrection ritual, the drowning of Osiris likely being reenacted in his chambers, in my opinion. Now, this square here is known as the House of Beauty, which is also a way of saying the place of embalmment, which would make it most likely Saqqara. In 2016, a 26th dynasty embalming workshop was found near the Pyramid of Unas, right there in Saqqara. Since we find very early tombs and pyramids in Saqqara, it seems reasonable to assume that this was a tradition there, that they had been embalming there for a very long time. It also seems reasonable to assume that if this square was intended to represent a real place, Saqqara may well have been it. And this symbol here is for the House of Second Life, or Eternity, and it would be associated with the final tomb of the deceased, which obviously would vary from person to person. And the sites of the two judges and the three judges, well, there's 42 judges in the Egyptian afterlife journey, and this may well be a mingling of game mechanics with this belief, giving a playboard 5 judges representing the hieroglyphs and the ceremonial board holding all 42 judges. Perhaps it represents the Hall of Two Truths and the weighing of the heart against the feather of Maat. Basically, these game boards offer a glimpse into the afterlife beliefs, but they tend to get overlooked in these discussions. People like to focus on the books of the Omduat, Book of the Gates, the Egyptian Book of the Dead. Maybe these spaces were intended to depict real-world locations. Maybe not, but to me there is one thing clear. The focus for many seems to have been on trying on how to figure out how to play this game, when to me the real value seems to be in the insight it offers into the lesser-known funerary rites and practices. Now, I plan to keep circling back to this idea of them reenacting the pharaoh's journey on the overworld, and I'm going to keep looking back, looking into certain aspects of it and looking for different bits of evidence. This came up as I'm researching parts of the Osirion. This board game popped up, and I'm not done researching the Osirion yet. Not done researching the board game yet either, but the board game is... it's a dictionary nobody's using, in my opinion, in this community. There are Egyptologists that are aware of it, and I'm sure there's alternate researchers that are aware of it too, but not enough of us, so I thought I would bring it out there and talk about it's more than just an early game of Sari. This has a lot of potential from the alternate researcher's perspective, right? Now, as I move forward with this concept, I'll be able to evaluate it and either debunk it or support it more and more on a side-by-side basis. Those of you who followed me for a while are going to be well aware that I don't just like grab something and run with it and keep going with it regardless of all the other things in the world. If I start getting evidence that shows me that this, I'm just pissing up a rope with this, I'll point that out and then I'll quit looking into this and start looking another way. As soon as I get enough evidence to tell me one way or the other, well, I'll let y'all know. In the meantime, video by video, as I'm going along making videos, every now and again, I'll weigh in on this whole thing and see if I can't figure some more stuff out. Hope you enjoy it. If not, I'm sorry. Thank you very much to my patrons and my other peoples that support me as well, but especially my Patreon supporters. You guys definitely give me confidence and money too, which is it helps buy lights and crap like that and keeps the ball rolling. So thank you very much. Thank you all for watching this time and this far, and click buttons and see you next time.